Well, please open your Bible then at Isaiah 40, and as we focus our attention on verse 29, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. I recently saw a YouTube video of an interview with a close friend of my sister, one Dr. Eardley, whose son at one time attended this church and shared accommodation with one of the deacons here. He might be able to tell you a few stories about him. And Dr. Eardley was saying that when her patients come to her, that she uses a form of shorthand to take down notes of their condition. I guess she taps into the computer nowadays. And one of the most common, if not the most common shorthand that she finds herself recording are the initials T-A-T-T. Any offers?
Tired all the time.
Got it. Tired all the time. That is the most common. Now, that, of course, can result from ill health, which results in a lack of strength and energy. Or it may be there for a whole range of different kinds of reasons. But the fact is that there are many people out there who, and in here, who are weary, who are simply tired all the time. The prophet Ezekiel, when he wrote to the people of Israel, he spoke to them and he told them how it was that they would experience God's judgment upon their idol worship. And he said this, he said, "Every knee shall be as weak as water, utterly without strength in the face of the judgment of God." If you were to visit the Protestant cemetery in Rome, you will find the grave of the English poet John Keats, who died at the age of 25. And he had instructed that upon his gravestone would be written the words, "Here lies one whose name was writ in water." Human weakness. There are people out there whose lives are characterized by weakness and who are not blessed with health and are not blessed with long life, who come to an early grave, whose name is written, as it were, in water. So what does God have to say then to people who are weary? People who have no might, no strength. Well, this is it. Isaiah 40 and verse 29. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. And we're going to ask three questions of this verse. The first is, who is spoken of here? Who is it that gives power and might and strength? The second question, to whom is he speaking? Who will he give? To whom will he give this strength? And then the third question is simply how? What does he do for them? How does he strengthen them in their weakness? So the first one then, who is it that is speaking here? He gives power to the weak. Well, to answer that question, you would need, as we did, we read most of chapter 40, you will need to reread that chapter. Because here is the context of what is said at the end of the chapter. This is the one who then says that he would be the one who would give power to the weak. See, the prophet has been told to comfort the people. Look right at the beginning of the chapter. Comfort, yes, Comfort my people, says the Lord. So how do you comfort the people? How best to comfort you people this evening? Well, he tells them about Jesus, the Lord Jesus. He says, get ready, he's coming. Prepare the way of the Lord, verse 3. He says that in him the glory of the Lord will be seen. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed in the coming of the Lord. Verse 5. He will come with strength, with a strong hand. Verse 10. He will come with gentleness, like a shepherd, to shepherd his flock, shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Verse 11. He is this one to whom we are now looking, who will be coming to us. He is the awesome God of creation, who measured the seas in the hollow of his hand, and the universe with the width of his hand. That's astonishing, isn't it? We recently had a crossing from Roscoff to Plymouth. If you've done that, it's 6 hours. And you just get the impression that there's just endless amounts of sea. And that's just a little short one, really. But here he is, the God of creation, who measured the seas with the hollow of his hand, and the universe, the vast reaches of the universe, with the span of his hand. This is the one who is going to be saying these words to us. Now, his knowledge and his understanding are so very far above ours. Who has instructed him? Rhetorical questions. Who's taught him? To whom has he gone for advice and counsel? Of course, no one. His knowledge and understanding are beyond, way beyond ours. And he is the one who reigns over all as the sovereign Lord on high, who sits on the circle of the earth, to whom the nations, think of the nations, all the nations of the earth, and they're just like a drop that's left in a bucket. You empty the bucket out, and then there's just a little drop left in it. And that's the nations. And so it is that we see the greatness. And he invites us, he says, behold, look and see, behold your God. And this is the God who is coming to you in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's very keen for us to get hold of this. He asks the questions, have you not known? Have you not heard? Verse 21. And he asks them again in verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? And then he takes them up into the heavens. And he says, now, you see those stars? Stars that are innumerable. We cannot number them. There are so, so many. And he says this, that our Lord not only numbers them, but he has a name for each one. And not one of them is overlooked. Not one of them is lost. Do you feel a bit lost sometimes in this planet with all its teeming numbers of people? Even the church is a vast congregation. You think, well, that's just me. And I'm so insignificant. But the Lord who knows, who numbers all of the stars and gives each one of them a name, he knows all of his people. He knows us individually. He knows our names. He knows us. And not one of us will be overlooked. Not one will be lost. Have you not known? Surely you have. You know. You know this God, the God who is spoken of here in Isaiah chapter 40, the one who from the beginning of time has been declared in the beauty of the heavens and in all of creation. Now this is the he of our text. This is the one who gives power to the weak and to those who have no strength. You may feel yourself to be diminished. Could happen for any number of reasons. Maybe some of us are just getting older, and you can feel yourself to be overwhelmed, to feel as though you're not coping, to feel as though you have no strength. Is he diminished? No, he is the one of Isaiah 40. He is the one who speaks these words. That's the one who is spoken of here. But who is he speaking to? And it's very clear from verse 29. He's addressing this human condition, this human problem of weakness and of weariness. People who are just tired all the time. People who are weighed down with burdens of all kinds of responsibilities and situations. Things that aren't going well. The weak, that's the ones he speaks to. He's speaking to the ones who have no might, those who are weary, who faint from lack of strength. And of course, there are many reasons for that, that we all experience at different times. Here's five. It may be ill health. For the person who has fallen ill, life becomes a struggle. Everything is difficult, and they become weary. And that is true whether it's a disturbance, whether it's an illness of the body, disease of the body, or disturbance of the mind. And of course, a large burden is placed upon those who are carers of such people. And such weariness. It may well be for many people here that it is just sheer hard work. There are people here who are just overtired. They're exhausted. I heard of a lady who was working long hours in hospital shifts, and she drove home. She was feeling tired out, whacked out. She got to her house. I made it home. I managed to stay awake. As she turned into the gate, she just fell asleep and drove straight into the gatepost. There's a man, the father of somebody in our church in Kettering, who has two jobs. And he comes home from one job, and he has something to eat, maybe a little rest, and he goes out again and does the other job. And many people are like this. Their work is exhausting. For some people, it is stress, anxiety, which often leads to a lack of sleep. The sleep patterns are broken, and the sleep is all over the place, and they're not sleeping properly, and they just get very tired. All these thoughts are going around, and this stress comes upon them. For some of us, the predominant issue for us, the thing that's really just dragging us down and making us tired, is sin. See, there's a cost in sin. When any kind of a sin gets hold of us, it can tire us out, it can drag us down. That's the way it is. Sin offers us pleasure, but there is a sting in the tail. We see this particularly in kind of drug addiction, where people turn to drugs and they're on a high, and then they just come crashing down. And that's true with all of the sin. Sin wears us out. Sin drags us down. Sin makes us weary. And then finally, number five, there's grief. Proverbs 15 and verse 13 says that by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Grief, deep sorrow, deep grief is a very wearing thing. It's a cruel thing. It comes upon you and you feel that brokenness and that emotion, that sense of loss. And so it is. So it is. And of course, the Lord Jesus, he saw all of these things. He saw the multitudes, as it were, scattered on the hillside. He saw them weary, he says. And he sees us all here this evening. And these are the people to whom the prophet speaks. These are the people to whom he directs their attention to God. He says, look. Look up again from your weariness and from your tiredness. Just look at God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't faint or get weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Now, get this. The whole reason for this monumental description of the greatness of God, which we have in chapter 40, it's all leading to one thing. It's all there so that we can understand that he is the one who gives power to those who are weary, strength. That's why we've been getting such a big view of how great and how powerful and how awesome and how caring he is, so that we might know that he is the one who will give strength to us. That's a wonderful thing. You see, he has unlimited resources. What's called the riches of his glory. As Paul said, my God will supply all of your need. On what basis? How can he do that? Well, according to his riches in glory, the riches that he has, he's able to provide for your needs, the needs of your life. And it's the same thing here. Because of how great in might he is able to strengthen you. So that leads us on to the big question, how? How does he do it? How does God bring strength to those who are exhausted and weary and wiped out? How does he do it? Well, I'm going to suggest three ways of how the Lord imparts strength, and then we're done. Well, not quite done because we've got the communion service at the end. But first one is by all the kindness and the care of his general providence. The Lord is God over all, and he has a wonderful, loving care for every creature, whether it's a tiny insect or a sparrow or someone who lives in Kingsthorpe. They're all under his care and his kindness. And that's always active to help people in their lives. And so God is able to bring about a change in our circumstances. We've thought about kinds of things that cause all this weariness and exhaustion. God is able to deal with those. He's able to bring about a change, a recovery of health, a change in our circumstances of one kind or another, relief for our situation, so that then our strength and energy return. Perhaps we've been caring for a loved one, an elderly loved one, for some years, and then eventually God takes them away through death, and first we're just devastated by grief, and then our strength begins to return. So that is the way in which God sometimes will give strength to the weary. He will do something in their lives for the circumstances of their lives. He may do. You see, his wisdom is so far above ours. He allows things that cause us to be tired and worn out to come into our lives for a good reason. He has a good purpose for these things. He's doing us good through them. We may not feel like it, and we may not understand it But he is actually doing us good through these things. But in the meantime, we are distressed by our trials. And yet, through his loving, caring providence of all people, God provides strength. How is that? Well, it's better experienced than described. Those who pass through trying circumstances, afflictions, so very often find a strength to bear up, to keep them going through the most trying and difficult situations they never realized they had. It's extraordinary. And people who have this kind of experience very often want to tell other people about it. And you can often read stories about people and how they've been enabled to be really positive and they've found almost a joy in the midst of their difficulties. So Doddy Weir, his name has a wonderful ring to it, Doddy Weir. He was a Scottish rugby player back in the day. And he was diagnosed with having motor neurone disease. And he suffered with this for 6 years. During that period, he was awarded an OBE and an honorary degree for his tireless service to help people with MND. And this is what he said. 6 years later, and I'm still fighting, still pushing for that cure, and still winning with every new day. If things don't go your way, he said, use your tremendous energy and brains and try again. It's extraordinary, isn't it? That dreadful disease. And God had given him tremendous energy. And this is because of God's care and providence, because he is a faithful creator and a merciful God who gives power to the weary, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. So this is something that you may have personal experience of. You may be proving it now. Things are happening and they're not good, and maybe not as bad as MND. But don't give up. There is an extraordinary way in which God gives us strength and energy that we didn't know we possessed to cope with these situations. Because God is compassionate. He doesn't want to afflict people. He doesn't willingly afflict or grieve the sons of men. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all his works. And so the Lord does give power to the weak. He may change their circumstances. He may just help them, give them the energy, give them the strength, the reserves of strength to get on, to get through. That's by his providence. The second way in which God gives strength to the weary is by his salvation. We've thought a bit about how sin wears us out, and that's sin really is the root cause of all of our woes. It was because our first parents hoisted the flag of independence and sank the ship of humanity on its maiden voyage, that all our troubles and all of our woes have come upon us. And because of the separation from God which sin has brought about, and because of the curse which has been pronounced by God, here we are. It's all because of this. What happens in our lives is simply, very gradually, we get worn out, and eventually we expire. The wages of sin is death. And that is how it happens. That's how it plays out. And so sin is the root cause of all of our woes. And the other thing about it is that we do not have the strength to overcome sin and to overcome the effects of sin. We can't do it. And there are all sorts of pictures that are used in the Bible the horrible pit where someone's in the bottom of this pit, they cannot get out. The miry clay that they're sinking into, they struggle to be free only to end up deeper in the mire. You might have heard of the story Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, and how this Christian goes out on a journey. He wants to try and find the pathway that leads to the celestial city. And he sets off full of excitement and energy, and he puts his fingers in his ears so nobody will persuade him to go back. And then he hasn't gone very far, and he misses his footing, and he falls into a bog. And he starts to sink. It's called the Slough of Despond. He starts to get desponding about it. Isn't working out the way he hoped. And the worst thing is, on his back he has this enormous burden. The burden of the weight of the guilt of his sin. And so as he tries to get out of this bog, it keeps just slipping in deeper and deeper. And the more he tries, the more he sinks into the bog. Eventually, God sends a man called Help. And he says, "Do you want some help?" Yes, please. And he hauls him out of the bog. And he's covered in mire. And then he goes on his way. But that's a picture of all of us. We cannot overcome the effects of sin. We cannot stop sinning. And we just increase in our guilt and our burden of guilt and fear of death, fear of what it will mean. Can you imagine when that day arrives and the Lord himself comes on the cloud and you've got to stand before the Lord? What if you're not ready for that day? And so it is. We're lost and we're without strength. But the great thing is, that's when God's salvation steps in. Because it was when we were without strength, we could not save ourselves. In the right time, in due time, what happened? Christ died for the ungodly. He paid the price for our sin to become our Saviour, so that he might deal with that which would sink us into a place which is lower than the grave itself. There was a man, when I was a boy, we used to go and visit my grandparents' house. And they had a kind of an attic at the top, and these very narrow stairs went up, and there was a tiny window. And in this attic, there was a couple of boxes of magazines that were issued in the First World War, and they charted the progress of the troops, and they had these pictures. My brother and I used to get them out, and there were all these pictures of men dying, you know, in the battles. And there was one picture, and this picture was of a man, and he was carrying an injured man on his back like this. And he was walking back towards the trench. He'd come out in, there'd been a battle, and there's people who were utterly, who were badly wounded, and they were crying out in pain. And he would go out, there's a sort of white flag or something, he would go out and he'd put them on his back, and he'd carry them back to the safety of the trench. And it said underneath, "This man rescued something like 35 people in this way." And that's it. We're utterly helpless. We're just lying there. We cannot save ourselves until Christ comes and lays us on his shoulders and takes us into his fold of safety. That's a wonderful picture of God's salvation. But that's not where you are. You haven't come to that point where you're ready to admit that you need a Saviour. You need Jesus. You need to hand your entire life over to him. You still think you can do it yourself. You can do life yourself. But maybe tonight, you're just weary. You're weary of trying to do it all yourself. Trying to do life yourself, and you're just tired. You're tired of your battles with, you know, things that are wrong in your lives and habits and stuff that's wrong, and you've tried to change, but you can't. You're just tired of it all. You're weary. But see then how Jesus is strong. He's a strong Saviour. He's mighty to save you. He can take you up from that miry clay, from that pit. He can haul you out of it. He can lay you on his shoulders, and he can bring you safe. See, he triumphed over everything. He triumphed over sin. He triumphed over death. He triumphed over Satan. He triumphed over them by his cross. He triumphed by his resurrection. And then, by his wonderful, glorious ascension, he ascended on high. He returned to heaven as a victor, triumphant. He fought the battle for us, the battle against sin, against death, against hell, against Satan, for us. He fought it, and he triumphed. He'd overcome all of these things, and he went back to heaven. He ascended on high. He led captivity captive, and he poured out gifts upon men and upon his church. See, he is a strong Savior. He has triumphed over all our foes, and he is able, by his saving might, to bring strength. See, when we were without strength, such was his love that Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. So find your strength here. Find your life in him. Hand your life over to him. Stop carrying on trying to do life yourself. It'll just wear you out. You'll just be exhausted. And you'll eventually just slip into the darkness of the grave. Come to the Lord Jesus. Come to him tonight. Give your life over to him that he might save you. Because that's what he is. He is our Savior. And that's how he brings strength to the weary. But there's a third way. How does God strengthen us? When we're tied up, how does he strengthen us? Well, in his providential kindness, as we've thought, he can change things. He can help to give us kind of strength to cope with things. We thought of the saving power of his salvation that lifts us out of the mire of sin. But here's another way, and that is by inward renewal. Did you notice the words in verse 31, as we read earlier from Isaiah 40? It says that those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. It is through us, through prayer, through coming to the Lord, that we experience an inward renewal, a renewal of our strength. Again, better experience than described, but it's true. We come to the Lord, we come to him with our burdens. And what it says in Psalm 55, 22, just cast your burden on the Lord. Not the burden of your sin now, but the burden of all your cares and all your troubles. And you just to hand it over to him. And you find a peace. You find an inward renewal. You find that he sustains you and gives you strength. That's wonderful. He is your strength. It says, though our outward man is perishing, you know, not getting any brighter, stronger, younger than we were, yet the inward man, the inward woman, the inward person is being renewed day by day. How does that happen? Happens by the Spirit of the Lord. When we meet with God, when we commune with God, when we wait on the Lord, then we experience an inward renewal of inward strength. That's a wonderful thing. And he strengthens us for the burdens and the trials of each day. Oh, find that true. Many people have found that. they're being burdened, they're struggling. But every day they just come, Lord, Father, Lord, oh Father, please help me. Lord, oh Lord, Lord, just help me. And as you wait upon the Lord, he gives you that inward renewal of strength. There's a wonderful verse in, part of a verse in Hebrews, Ephesians rather, chapter 3 and verse 16. And here it is. Paul prays that the Father in heaven would grant those struggling Christians, those tired people, according to the riches of his glory. There we go again. It's according to how rich he is that he can do this. What? To be strengthened with might through his spirit. Where? In the inner man. Inward renewal of strength. That's to be should be the experience of the Christian as we wait upon the Lord, as we come to him, as we pray, as we meditate on his word and receive the strength, the nourishment that his word gives to us, then we experience this inward renewal. Many times in the Bible, God is simply called my strength. David says in Psalm 18, he says, I love the Lord. Why? I love the Lord, my strength. That was the thing he mentions there. The psalmist, Psalm 19, speaks of the Lord as my strength. He is my strength and my redeemer. The Lord is my strength and my song. That's repeated several times. Oh, my strength. He actually calls God my strength. That's his name for God. My strength, I will watch for you. The Lord is my strength, says the prophet Habakkuk. He makes my feet like deer's feet, nimble, running up and down the mountains. He does something extraordinary to strengthen us inwardly. Now we're going to come take the Lord's Supper in just a moment. And here's an extract from a hymn that sometimes is sung. I'm not singing it tonight, but we've got it here. Here. Oh my Lord, I see you face to face. Here would I touch and handle things unseen. Here grasp with firmer hand the hand of faith, the eternal grace, and all my weariness upon thee lean. I have no help but you. Nor do I need another arm save yours to lean upon. It is enough. Your strength is enough. It is enough, my Lord, enough indeed. My strength is in your might alone. I'd love to quote hymns. There are a few more, but that's a great one, isn't it? It's Horatius Bonar. That's how it starts. Here, oh my Lord, I see you face to face. May we know that, the Lord, my strength. Oh Lord, let's pray. Oh Lord. Oh Lord, we thank you for this wonderful promise of your word. That you are such a kind and generous and gracious God and Father. Lord, I says, you say, he will, Lord, he will give strength to the weary. Oh, Lord, power, might. Oh, Lord, how we thank you for the ways in which you so wonderfully do this, in all your wonderful caring and providence, for the way in which, oh, Lord, you take us when we're utterly weak and unable to save ourselves. And lift us out of that situation. And set our feet on a rock. Because you then become our strength. And we thank you, Lord, then we know what it is for that strength to be renewed day by day. Pray for those, Lord, here who are just worn out. And we pray, O Lord, that you would prove this. You would prove your word to them. Here, O my Lord, I see you face to face and all my weariness I lean upon you. Oh, Lord, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. May we prove that. May we know what it means, Lord, this inward renewal, the inner man renewed day by day by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Underneath are the everlasting arms. The Lord is my strength and my salvation. May we all prove that to be true in weary days and situations that we find ourselves in. Lord, may we go on from strength to strength, go on, wrestle and fight and pray. And may we go on to win through, Lord, by your strength and by your help. Win through to that to that great day when we shall be at rest with you. Hear our prayers in Christ's name. Amen.